We don't exactly know who Q is, okay? Q is not one person. Q is a bunch of people.
There's things that have been going on since the assassination of JFK. Terrible things.
And it involves the whole Space Force, possible alien life, like pedophiles, you know, and it seeks to tie all of that together.
Did you like it?
I am calling all Nigerian sneaky, but we sat around and just brainstormed like legal revenge tactics, which was actually really fun. Like I was, and I think about like John Oliver, and it would be so fun to be in that writer's room and just come up with funny ways to try to like legally twist the nipples of the people that you're fucking with, you know.
I love that. Like when he, even like little things, like when he made that children's song, like a play on the North Korean.
The best.
Like, or was it not North Korean? It was China.
China, yeah.
He's made a couple different children ones because he did he also made the book that the Mike Pence put out a book. So he put out a competitive book that actually did better. It like sold better. Yeah.
And it was like, what was it about? Like the gay bunny who like fell in love and God, I love that.
Like Mike Pence has a book about like a non-gay book, like don't be gay kind of thing.
Yeah. Something like that.
Something like wow.
He's not into the gays, as they say.
There's a moment with kids when you have one where you're like, oh shit, this kid's just doing everything I do and I gotta watch my back, dude.
Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I can't like, you know, like light my neighbor's car on fire or like key people's cars or like the kid will just start doing it.
Can't do it anymore, dude. It's a real shame.
So if you tell your kid to beat up on gays, like they will. I mean, it's so like the fact that he's got a kid's book that's putting those messages out is like totally crazy.
All right, so let's get into this. So I think this is Did You Reddit, a weekly, I can't even say that with straight face right now, but weekly podcast about the internet by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. My name is your dad.
I'm Dog Boobs.
My free day down here on in the basement.
Yep. So we're doing, this is another remote pod. We actually don't have to do this, but we all are all in Los Angeles together. But the reason we're doing this is because we have a special guest on today who basically we've been kind of milking this one. We didn't post anything last week because we probably should have told you guys this. I'm sorry in advance, but we've been trying to get a guest to talk about the QAnon. The QAnon, I guess it's kind of the great political conspiracy of our time.
Yeah.
And it's wild. And we were just like, could not wrap our head around it, but there's a very popular subreddit called Great Awakening, that goes deep into it. So we wanted to find somebody that could talk with us about it, who we will have on in, 10, 20 minutes or so. But yeah, so we took a little bit of time. But before we're going to get into that, let's talk a little bit about what happened on the front page. I mean, first of all, Aretha Franklin died like an hour ago.
I know.
Which is a real sham.
R.I.P., guys.
Dang.
Awesome. Yeah.
Was she a musical person?
What's music?
She was the queen of soul.
God,
so she was the one who did the R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So she was like, you know, old school Detroit soul. I don't know.
Best voice ever.
Best voice ever. Didn't she sing at Obama's inauguration or something?
Yeah, I think she did. Yeah. I know she had a sick hat.
She did have a sick hat. But yeah, Aretha, you'll be missed. I mean, it sounds like it was.
What was wrong with her cat?
Oh, her She had a hat.
She had a like beautiful, gigantic bow hat that she wore to the inauguration, and everybody was talking about it the next day.
Yeah, it was a big meme.
It was beautiful.
Cool.
The first big meme of the Obama presidency.
That's right. Oh, those were great memes back then.
Those were great, nice, innocent
memes.
Good memes.
That's a cool hat.
That's a goddamn
it's got a
shame.
Huge bow. It's got a 3-foot bow on it.
Yeah, like six feet maybe.
Maybe. I mean, it's definitely at least 15 feet worth of ribbon that they had to like high up in a knot, in a old sailor's knot.
And it looks warm. It's cold that time of year. It's just great all around.
You know, I was at that inauguration.
Were you?
Yeah, I went. I went to Obama's first inauguration. It was.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was an absolute trip. I was in college still. It was it was interesting. I mean, I wouldn't say I was apolitical, but I was kind of I was stoked that he had won, but I kind of like had a friend.
You were about to say like I was on the anti-Obama side. I was protesting pretty hard.
Well, I was doing kratom and salvia the whole time, so I don't really remember.
Like, God, I feel like we would have heard about this by now, but maybe there's a reason why you're not telling us.
No, I just like I for some reason it's like a bit of a blur. Like I had never been to Washington D.C. and I have a friend who I don't really know that well and didn't know that well even in college who was going for some reason, and I was just like, "Can I come?" And he was just like, "Yeah, all right." So I went with him and his parents. But he wasn't really a friend, so it was just like a lot of me kind of dinking around by myself.
Yeah.
And I remember, and like when you go to the inauguration, it's like you're not like, you know, fucking exchanging winks with Barack Obama. I mean, you are a good like from here to Echo Park away from him pretty much. Like it was so packed and far, right? So I just remember kind of being like, yeah, this is cool. A lot of cool vibes. DC's
awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Dude, before he won the like Democratic ticket back then, I went and saw him get a school in LA.
Speaking of school, really.
I got pretty close, guys.
That's pretty tight.
Pretty close. I could see
that
him.
That could have been your chance, dude. You could be Michelle down. Obama.
Yeah. Oh.
I could have done one of two things.
I wish I would have caught his eye, but I didn't.
Well,
sad.
That's why Arika wore that hat.
Yep.
That's true. If you had a time machine, is that the thing that you would do? You would go back and try to wink at Barack Obama a little bit harder?
Yeah, of every single thing I could go back in time and do, that's it. That's the one, because it would totally work.
What about you, Fried? What would be your time machine? Mulligan.
Oh. I would go back to Hawaii in 1974 when he was doing cocaine, and I would have been like, "Hey, let me do that line first." And I would have done it all, and would have been like, "You'll thank me later."
That's really funny,
dude. You stole all my blow, and it's like, "Don't worry,
don't worry,
don't worry." Someday you're gonna be president, and then you're like arrested, and you're put in.
You're gonna
be
like, "I almost did blow, but some guy came and just did it all."
Yeah, some guy from the future came and did all of my cocaine.
This guy came in, he's like, "I'm from the future. Let me do all your cocaine. It's for your best interest." And then he ran away. That's what I would do.
That's amazing. What would be mine? I guess as it specifically pertains to Obama, I guess probably.
One of the caveats to our time machine is that it only goes back into Obama's timeline.
Yeah. You have to go back into his life.
It's not the greatest time machine. Yeah. It's pretty cool, but.
I would go back before. I mean, I'd go back and like make sure he printed multiple versions of his birth certificate early.
Yeah.
And then have him make sure that they were hanging around every possible nook and cranny of any public thing he did. I would make sure there's a birth certificate readily available. Just nip that one in the bud, you know?
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, you're like, "Hey, okay, doctor, like, let me just get 60 copies of this." And I'm just gonna store them away.
Yeah.
And when it's time, I'm gonna fax them out to everybody.
That is my dog that you hear.
You got a Trevor.
Yeah.
Trevor heard us mention Obama and he's like, fuck that guy. Like, fuck that guy.
Trevor's a huge Q-tip, right?
Trevor is a giant Q-tip that I own. And it's decorative. It's a modern art piece.
Yeah, a giant modern art piece named Trevor.
Some other exciting news on the front page. There's a fat hamster that's pregnant, or guinea pig.
Oh, I saw that. It's a pretty popular one this week for whatever reason.
If I was a hawk or a coyote, that thing would just look like a banana split.
Oh my God, seriously. Right.
Like that thing you're not supposed to eat, but you know you just eat
like
it.
If you were a hawk or an eagle that was on a diet, you saw that thing and you'd be like, "Fuck it." You only live once.
Do you think they realize that it's stuffed with other gerbils?
I bet it's a fun surprise for them.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
I mean, that's like, very dark, but
it's like a Russian doll.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, if you let's not do it in animal terms for all our vegan listeners out there, but if you had like a soy ice cream cone and then you bit into it and saw multiple other soy ice cream cones, you'd be pretty stoked.
You'd be pretty stoked, guys. You can't.
Yeah. You wouldn't be bummed.
No, you would not be bummed.
That's really cool.
I saw there's another hot one actually yesterday. It was of a one-year-old doing the ladder drill with his dad, and it was freaking adorable. God. I don't know if you guys have seen this one.
I just watched that.
It's very, very cute. It's like a thing that running backs do to work out.
It's just like lines on a floor. You lay them down and then you just quickly do your feet over them. It's like to increase foot speed for training purposes. Okay. And the guy's got like, you know, his 14-month-old. I can name exact month your old kid.
you are good at that.
Oh yeah, wow.
He's not quite 11. He's under 16. He's 14.
It's a 14-year-old.
But the kid nails it. It's very cute.
Yes, it's very cute. Have you guys? There's one thing that I also there's a quick tie a quick release knot instruction in GIFs that's really popular right now.
I
feel like the art of tying knots has been lost with the millennial generation.
It has.
And this is actually something we could talk to our guest Roy about if we wanted to, because he lives on a boat.
He knows a shit ton.
He knows a shit ton.
I think in general, the knowledge to do anything sort of physical construction related seems to be just empty from anybody under a certain age. Nobody can just do your basic whatevers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we're all computer savvy now, but we don't really have the practical skills.
Right. Yeah. The only thing I can do that's even close to physical labor right now is like make an omelet on my own.
Yeah.
You know.
Like Dog Boobs just found a way to cheat that.
I don't even know how to do that. How do you flip it? How do you get it? How do you get the top to cook? That's always been my question about omelets.
You gotta flip it. You gotta flip it somehow. I mean, I'm not saying I make a good omelet, but I make an omelet. So, which I'll actually probably do after this pod. But okay, so let's. I'm gonna get Roy on here so we can talk a little bit about the Great Awakening.
Get Roy on the horn.
Okay.
Stuff this whole podcast.
You talk about knots, knots and boats.
It becomes a boat podcast.
Yeah. Well, it's safe. It's like that old, what is it, piracy radio that was offshore? I mean,
that's right. Yeah. It's old fashioned in a good way.
Yeah.
So, as people know, we're talking about the Great Awakening, which is basically the de facto source for any and all QAnon things on Reddit, right?
Yeah. That's what it's looking like. At first, I thought it was about the original Great Awakening, the Protestant Great Awakening, but learned that it's not.
Well, our original Reddit site was The Calm Before the Storm, and that was started around the first of the year. QAnon basically came on in the fall of 2017 onto the 4chan and 8chan boards, and we developed a subreddit, but that was wiped out by main Reddit in March, so everything with the Great Awakening is brand new since March. I for example, lost 100. And Ben, you look through some of my stories.
Yeah.
They're rather extended. I lost 100 of those that were already posted on Calm Before the Storm. So everybody complaining about censorship and everything right now, we've been through that and we've been under attack this whole year.
Oh, wow. My God.
So why did they say it got shut down?
It was actually the same thing. Sadly, happened in May. And if you step back and take a look at an example with what President Trump has been dealing with and what's being uncovered with the Department of Justice, the FBI, Crossfire Hurricane programs, If your audience is a little bit familiar with some of the steps that were involved with the dossier, the FISA, the insurance plans, these were all thought out, planning spies into the candidate, Trump's presidential run. We're dealing with the same people. We're dealing with it, and in fact, what happened in March, they had planted some spies and teams of people, and they started posting all this inappropriate stuff with the intention of getting Reddit to shut us down. They sacrificed themselves to get us shut down. They were paid operatives. This has happened not once, but it happened again in May, unfortunately, and I don't want to get into involved with it too much, but the same thing happened again with a couple leading people that all of a sudden left the thing, denounced publicly QAnon is all fake. So we've gone through a couple rounds of these purges and constant attacks. I was telling Ben, I don't do a thing on my computer. We've been under attack, and these are just not by simple hackers. The CIA, all these people that are against President Trump have their sights set on us, no question.
Man, that's a lot to unpack there. You mentioned something that was actually interesting, is I don't know how much your listeners are aware of the fill in the blank thing. I'm going to assume that our listeners aren't aware of much of this at all. I'm sure everybody, kind of like us, like we have a very brief understanding of what QAnon really is, but I think starting from the top as much as you can about kind of where and how it happened and why we've gotten to this point, I think would probably really help. And really quickly, before we get into that, so just so everybody knows our relationship here with Roy, when we first found out about Great Awakening, we've known about QAnon for a while. We've wanted to talk about it. You know, we've never done the Donald on this podcast because it's just tricky for a lot of reasons, and we don't want to do it an injustice on either side of the kind of conversation. But I think QAnon is such a big, it's such a big cultural moment right now, and it's so specifically derivative of the internet that we're just very interested in it, as a lot of people are. I mean, you're seeing a lot of stories about QAnon right now and kind of getting to the people. But so anyway, so I reached out to the mods on Great Awakening, and they were immediately like, oh, Captain Roy D, that's your man right there. So
Roy, tell us a little bit about like yourself and who you are and, you know, your past, your history and all that good stuff.
I told somebody one time we were plucked at. We're like the island of misfit toys. For anybody that can remember back to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Ranger analogy, is that, and we feel particularly that the President Trump and through military intelligence that is running this QAnon movement, that we were selected as the misfit toys to be President Trump's media, to be his voice. And one of the first things that Attorney General Sessions and President Trump did back in January 2017 was to start the leak investigations. I don't know if y'all remember, this was the first thing before the voter fraud, before even any of the stuff with the DOJ and the FBI and all the dossier and all that stuff. The first thing they did was to cut off the leaks. So in essence, what they did was to cut off what the media has been feeding on for at least 8 years, direct information. So they've cut off the fake news from any more flow of information. And in fact, what President Trump has done is selected us to get this information. I mean, what makes a good reporter is inside information, confidential sources, blah, blah, blah. I got this from the White House. This is what we're all saying indirectly, our information. So in fact, he's not only tasked us for this job, but he's given us the ammunition to go ahead. We break the stories. I told one of my neighbors the other day, they said, what are you doing? I said, we broke the Stefan Halper story. We broke the Gmail ghost drafts. I mean, this stuff all comes from the drops from QAnon, from military intelligence with the nod of President Trump's approval. And we break these stories. We force the information that mainstream media does not want to touch, does not want to cover, the 20 pages, you know, unredacted of the latest FISA. Surveillance warning against Carter Page. These are the things that we're pushing out. And again, we have help and inside information, and that's what we're doing. That's what we've been tasked to do. And everybody is, I mean, we're more firm than ever. And many of us have been doing this since the fall. And again, I was asked because I was a little bit, obviously I'm older, and I was involved with this truther movement or the conspiratorium, you know, in 9/11, JFK. There was a lot of us that, the reason that we look at the Chan boards and we picked up on this is because that was our hangout to begin with.
Right. So you were interested in JFK
way before QAnon, and in fact, the reason that they've tasked me, because I've made public, everybody else wants to remain anonymous and to get this information out. I had already done some interviews in the past before QAnon came on with the Hagman Report. So I've been kind of the spokesperson through the Hagman Report, which is our big alt,
it's all news source.
Yeah, they don't trust Alex Jones. They all turn to Hagman and Lionel, people like that. But that's a little bit of that's the core of the background as far as from what it sprang with in the fall. It's been continuing on. It's just been getting stronger. The proof, the evidence, and again, we don't get. It's just like with the for folks that can remember back to the days of Watergate, the sad days of Watergate. The deep throat. This is a quick analogy. Is the deep throat at that time that was giving the information out to Woodward Bernstein was an FBI agent, kind of on the parallel ranks of an Andrew McCabe, high up in the FBI. But he wasn't giving them the declassified reports. He was just giving them information. Go talk to Jeb Magruder. Go look at this area for this and that. He was just pointing them in the right direction because he didn't want to, you know, be charged with giving up classified information if it all came out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The same thing happens over on the boards. We're not given, unredacted, confidential, top secret information. We're just given clues and hints. Look here, look into Anderson Cooper's background. He may not be a straight up journalist. He may have some Mockingbird media ties, just the general hints. And then we've got 60,000 plus research, plus everybody that's the anons on the boards that dig in, that look up old tweets, look up old Facebook posts, and we get into the bottom of all this stuff. We're the Woodward and Bernstein, and Donald Trump is the deep throat, and the enemy, instead of being Richard Nixon, is the deep state, the shadow government, the drain of swamp crap.
So the couple things are really, really interesting that I want to get into at some point. One is your guys' mistrust of Alex Jones, which I think is a really interesting thing, particularly because it's so in vogue right now with Alex Jones. But before we get into that, though, I want to quickly – let's just talk about what – QAnon actually is in like the most layman terms we can kind of come up with.
There's a team. We feel it's a team of 10 individuals from military, primarily from military intelligence, active duty with approval and you know, some assistance directly with the White House that is told to put this information out, to give these clues to the new reporters, Trump's reporters, which are us. And to give us some help and direction in uncovering a lot of these past sins and these illegal actions that have taken place in our country. That's the gist of it. And it's dropped in a particular place. It's designated so we know it's from Q and not that I'm trying to post something or Aaron's putting something in pretending to be Q. There's no question of this. The daily information is coming from. And it usually comes one, two, three plots of information a day.
Okay. And this happens every day.
Yes, sir. And it's been going on since the fall, like I said, of 17. There's some breaks, you know, and again, a lot of times it correlates to President Trump's in route doing stuff in North Korea or Russia or, you know, a lot of the Q breaks are synonymous with breaks and things that President Trump's doing, oddly enough.
Right.
So are the people who are giving this information people who are in the Trump administration?
Well, the whole thing is intentionally kept quiet, and we've been told from the get-go because I think President Trump understood if you're dealing with 100,000 top researchers, maybe one person may stumble onto the real deal. We've been told from the start if we uncover any of the 10 people, any of the background. I know myself, I've attended a rally, I've been involved with one of the Q drops personally. There's stories that could be told by me, but we've been told for the good of the whole cause is that these people want to remain anonymous. It's part of the whole deal. And again, we've like taken oaths to protect the identity of you if anybody stumbles onto it. But to let you know that there's been, and that's why every day there's not something like who's Q from all of us. We put that to bed, and anytime something comes up, we just should shut it down. It's the source, it's not the person.
Yeah. Okay.
I think one of the big questions that people probably have is how can you prove that this person is legit or this group of people is legit? What has been your kind of initial verification of that kind of contradiction?
Well, in the beginning, it was rather tough. There's no question. There's a lot of skeptics and a lot of people that affirm by me can remember in the early days, this is just another make-believe ex-CIA person that really, you know, was involved in human resources and wants to be act like they were a frontline James Bond agent. You know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of times people have these credentials. I have credentials from the, you know, from the Homeland Security right now and from the Coast Guard and so forth, you know, but I you know what I mean? My stories are just plain old stories. But with this, it's been two things. It's been a course of time, because you can't keep predicting things and keep you pointing people in the correct direction day after day, month after month in this type of thing. So longevity has been one of the factors. But more specifically, there's things that we call Q proofs. And these are little nods that that either President Trump coordinates a tweet with, where Q does a drop and 10 minutes later, Trump uses the same odd word. There's been pictures within Air Force One. There's I use example because I was involved with post 1775, but the one right after our post was 1776. And I said this was one of the most ominous in the world, because it was a 1776 written out just the way we write out the post numbers. And it was signed by Donald Trump himself. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want more. You know, there's just, it's been for us that have been involved with it. It just rolls off our shoulders. We kind of point the new people to a lot of these things, where he predicted the Saudi Arabia purge in advance. He predicted North Korea, what would be the final outcome. I mean, it just goes on and on. There's somebody actually put together the top 100 Q proofs. You know, it's in the thousands.
Oh, I see that. Yeah. For listeners that are following the way we usually do this podcast. So if you go to Great Awakening, there are useful resources. And I, when we were first researching this is one of the things that I was kind of getting into, to try to make sense of what's happening. But you do see Q proofs, see Book of Q proofs, a PDF, a Q map. What is Q map? What is a Q map?
Well, this is something that they've asked initially. It's more worked on the Anon boards as far as the piecing this all together, because again, this is supposed to be a master plan.
Right.
As you look at one phase, it's connected to the second phase. You take a look at something in the FBI, then that's connected to the DOJ, which is part of that, and it's connected up to the White House. It's more of kind of like what a private eye would do for a whiteboard, connecting, you know, with the strings and all that stuff in the pictures,
right.
Like a mob chart.
Oh yeah.
So what? So in backing up a little bit too. So Q. Yep. So Q. My understanding, Q is a.
It's a team of people that acts as an informational source. It's not one individual, but it's a small team, and they post information every day on the anonymous board, and then we run with it. We have a group of decoders that kind of, sometimes it's a little bit more cryptic than elsewise. Sometimes they'll just put a link, like recently there was a link to a Sarah Carter article and we were told to read it, you know. Other times there's a picture, you know, or like I said, that one had just had a 1776 and Donald Trump signature on a, you know, White House station. You know, it's
right.
Some of it's self-explanatory, but some of it is actually there's messages that they use amongst themselves on this board. We found out that there's some messages for the team players within Q, and it's not even for us. It's their message board. It's pretty complicated, but that's and then again, once the decodes and the information's made, that's where myself, people like Praying Medic, Cerebral Brain 2 come in involved. Then we write
these stories. These are other Redditors.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Then people put out, Lisa McRally will put out a Twitter thing. Praying Medic will put out a video. Cerebral Brain 2 and myself will put out stories that tie in all the latest stuff, and people can read these stories and then push them out to Facebook and Twitter.
Cool.
It's all kind of a team process, like an assembly line that we start with this given information. And we're tasked to get it out to the public, because the mainstream media, the Mockingbird media, refuses to cover this stuff.
Cool.
It's self incriminating to them.
What is Mockingbird media when you say that?
Oh, okay. This goes back to the 60s and the 70s to the Church Commission. It was called the Church Commission. This was when there's no question. This is historical evidence, where they had congressional hearings where they found actual CIA paid active people that were in the mass media, that they had penetrated the media, and these people were giving us the news, and they were in fact not employed by NBC or ABC. They were employed by the CIA. And there was a big hearing on this, and it was to clean up this, and they termed it as the Mockingbird Media, these intelligence assets that were deliberately put into all aspects of the print and broadcast media in our country. I mean, this was discovered, and remedies were to be put in place. What we believe and what we've have strong evidence is that, in fact, it's still going on or been resurrected. And every 4 o'clock in the morning, these people, the puppet masters, what have you, from the deep state, send out to the selective people. And we publish lists at the Great Awakening. These people, Anderson Cooper, Jim Acosta, blah, 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 all the way, Rachel Maddow, that they get their talking points. And that's why so many stories are similar. They're all on the same page and they get it from the CIA.
So what makes you think that the Project Mockingbird hasn't been resurrected by Trump himself?
No, I believe it is. That's what I'm saying, is that there's no question that it had been shut down. The people were put in jail. I had done some research about 4 months ago about that. We were discussing it on the boards. It hasn't come up because we've seen evidence of it. You can just look, pick your top 3-4 papers or broadcast mediums, and they have the same stories. They may switch the words around, but the headlines are almost identical. Right.
And so when you talk about, like, Anderson Cooper, for instance, and Rachel Maddow, and who is the last one?
Oh, Annie, just name your pick. I mean, we have a list of 50 of them, and they're all out there. Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski. I mean, everybody, we're not saying these are all actual CIA agents. I mean, I think a lot of people think Cooper is. There's probably 5 that we've, but there's 100 that have been complicit in this whole thing that received their orders. And they're co-conspirators, if you will.
But if the project was resurrected by Trump, why is he using?
Oh, not by Trump. No. These are all people that are against Trump. No. This was brought up. This was resurrected. The country put this down once. This was done under Obama. All this stuff is, President Trump's just trying to clean this up, drain the swamp. This is what's been going on in our country. And thank goodness we didn't get another 4 or 8 years continuing. The Donald Trump got in there and really cut in half this, devastated the 16-year plan.
So backing up, so this is where things I think are really interesting in terms of this, is because I think that attributing this to Trump, I think, is fascinating, because I would love to know why you think that Trump is the one responsible for getting rid of it, not the one responsible for bringing it back. So it's like you talk about Project Mockingbird being a thing right now during the Trump era.
No. This was an effect that was resurrected under Barack Obama. I'm saying that we're trying to put an end to it right now.
When did you start seeing that it was that it had been resurrected? Did you only start noticing this during Trump, or did you notice this during the Obama years?
Well, I mean, you could take a look at the Tea Party groups that were unfairly targeted by the IRS.
What do you mean they were unfairly targeted?
Lois Lerner led a crusade that, and again, she had to resign because of this. She led a campaign in the IRS to go through, and anybody that said, this is Ben's Tea Party group of Portland, or Dominic's a patriotic group out of Cleveland, or Aaron's group of socialites out of Seattle. Anything that had a patriotic name or a Trump wasn't around, but anything that was connected to maybe being a Republican leaning organization was put under IRS audit. And a lot of these people were put out of business. These were small groups. A lot of these were voter groups. You know what I mean? Not companies that have lawyers to defend themselves. And that just one example that the media is complicit. They use the media to defend themselves.
Right.
they're like the front warriors. Like we're being used right now by President Trump. We're the frontline soldiers. We're the ones being attacked. Our computers are being, given viruses, and people being, stalked, losing their jobs, whatever. That's been going on to our crowd.
And so most of the people that are involved, I don't think everybody, but I think a lot of the people involved in Great Awakening and QAnon are old school Trump supporters, right?
Oh, I've been drawn to Trump thing since the summer of 2015. But what I'm amazed with is there's a great many of Bernie people. But believe it or not, there's a huge contingency of Bernie and independents. I'd have to say that it's probably 50% hardcore Make America Great Again, and the other 50 are semi-disillusioned or middle-of-the-road kind of people that have just, you know, had enough of what's been going on. It's right. The drain the swamp. It's the same thing. The Make America people are calling it drain the swamp. You know, we're calling it criminal purge of the deep state. It's in essence the same thing.
Okay, interesting. So do the Bernie people and the MAGA people, do they fight amongst themselves? Because I know that your big like call to arms is, what is it? It's like where we go one, we go all or something.
Yeah, because it's at some point at the end of this, we have to look. There's great many of our fellow citizens that have Trump derangement syndrome, and it's not they were dealt this by professional people with mind control that were done on a planned, systematic basis, and we don't blame them for what they've been fed to believe. We need to bring them all around to heal this country, to bring everybody back. So that's our goal. We're giving out information. We're being factual about this. And it's not, I don't even look at D or R. I'll take down a Republican just like right. that. I'll write a story. It doesn't right. matter. The labels are gone. They've been wanting us to use these labels. Our side is the labels are gone. We're just, it's a single justice system. If your name's Clinton Obama or Strozek, you don't get a pass.
Right.
Everybody held to the same account. That's all we're asking, and we're putting out the facts. People like Devin Nunes, the people that are pushing this in Congress, they know what's there. Trump knows what the evidence is. You have to understand, these people all have the evidence. We're just trying to bring it around so the public, so the half the country does not collapse in a heart attack when this is all made public. This is a great awakening. It means it.
You said Trump derangement syndrome. What is that?
Trump, there's a great many people that will go out and just howl at the moon because Hillary lost, or there's people that just walk around in a zombie state beating people up that there's no tomorrow, that the country's gone. They don't take a look at the 4.1, the GDP. They don't take a look at the trade deals that turn around. Do you know what I mean? They have blinders on because there's an agenda, or there's a political mindset that they need to push first. If it destroys the country, I mean, you've heard people that say they want to rather blow up this country than to have Donald Trump win or to succeed. When you're dealing with people like that, I call it the kamikaze effect. These people are so committed that they will die before changing. Now, again, there's no hope for those, but 95% of the rest of them, once they've been told the truth, once they see that there's been no Russian collusion, this was all done by John Brennan using Joseph Mossad to plant stuff with George Papadopoulos that led to Carter Page, that led to the warrants, that led to the two-hop surveillance of Trump and everybody else. I mean, it's related. It's all documented. And again, we're just slowly bringing it to the public's attention. It's almost, like I said, it's a tap on the shoulder as opposed to some people just throwing it right in your face. And that's what we've been told to do, is to keep bringing that day by day. And it keeps building. And I think at the end, we got to, there's going to be some justice done, and there's going to be some healing needs to be done. And some people have to apologize for the positions they've held. This Russia, Russia, Russia crowd, and they've known full along it's false. How do you explain that to the American people if you're a Jim Acosta or an Anderson Cooper, that you've done this deliberately for a year?
So when you say that everybody knows it's false, what exactly do you mean? Because I think it seems like there's been a lot of evidence that there has been Russian interference. I know that they're constantly trying to figure out collusion, but you're using a lot of absolutes. I would love to hear clarity on them.
There's plenty of Russian interference. It just didn't come from the Trump side. You know, that's the whole thing. I mean, that's what's being brought out right now in the different stages of this. And I think this is going to come to the light, is the whole Spygate element of this whole.
What if information did come out that Trump was involved in some way? I mean, is this movement more important than Donald Trump as a person? I mean, in me, like, he's just a person, and he's totally, he has his own flaws. He can make mistakes too. He could be susceptible. We don't really know.
Well, the thing is there's been 2 years and there's been no concrete proof. And trust me, if there was something, it would have been put on the table by now. Our position is this Russian thing was a hoax. There was Russian involvement, but it was from the DNC, the Hillary Clinton and Department of Justice and the intelligence assets of our country that got involved.
I think in 1987, he went over there and he like shit on somebody's chest and they got it on video.
Very, very well could.
So who do you think? So I'm looking at the sub right now and I'm going over some phrases that I would love for you to explain what it means or what the genesis is of it. Right.
I mean, you
know, certainly better than us. So, all right. So let's start with, Cannibal Club. What is Cannibal Club?
See, I deal in the political corruption side of it. There's people that do the religious side. There's people that are involved in the Pedigate. I'll just say that's involved in the satanic side. You have to understand that when we're dealing with criminals, a lot of times these people don't just keep their crime set to one particular thing as far as robbing banks. They may also be involved in, you know, money laundering or extortion schemes. You know, a lot of these people have more than one crime. I pretty much focus in on the political corruption, but that's where that's leaning to, and I really don't have a lot of background in that.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say if you're into cannibalism, you're also into pedophilia. They're like two peas in a pot. Yeah.
but at some point there was some things said that after we get clear up some of these blatant criminal things that are floating out there, the double justice system and so forth, that we're going to get to some of this other things as far as trafficking, human trafficking, corruption on the corporate levels. It's not going to end, I think, just in cleaning out the Department of Justice.
Okay, so I'm looking. So let's just go like the top post of this past week from Praying Medic, the world's first cult where no one has met the leader, and the leader insists people think for themselves.
I've seen Dave's fine YouTube on that, and I'd certainly be happy to comment on that. That's the basis of the whole of the QAnon is that they're not giving us the information. They're actually forcing us to dig it up and do our own research. They just kind of generally point us in the right direction as far as go north. And we all right. go north.
So this is and this is in response to somebody calling you guys a cult, I assume, right?
Oh, we get called all the day. I just watched a highlight and I never watched this thing, the Young Turks or something like this.
Yeah,
and
they, sure.
But somebody actually had it as a highlight spoofing what they're saying about us. I really hadn't even heard of it much, but the guy came right out and said that we're a bunch of lunatics, not even people as far as conspiracy theorists. He says that the QAnon movement goes way beyond that to the they're all lunatics to be committed. And again, I take rather exception with that because, I mean, I'm permanently disabled with some, you know, my thing is some memory issues. And when people start, you know, making fun of us, a great many of these, everything's volunteer on our side. And it's
you sound like a goddamn encyclopedia, Roy. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about memory wise.
Well, yeah. I have to take a lot of time with my stories because I get, you know, there's so many names and dates, and this was May 17, you know, and when I'm dealing with 60,000 experts, so I get something wrong. We have to be real careful, especially with my detailing because I'm going through all different spies and categories. But I hope that answered your question about the Praying Medic. He's one of our best people, and again, everybody has, he does the religious side of it. You can see he does the spiritual aspect of it. And again, Praying Medic did this years in advance of QAnon. You have to understand a lot of us had just been doing our own thing, and we've all come together for this common cause. Everybody, I put my JFK stuff aside. People put their 9/11 stuff aside. Dave's put all of his stuff that he was doing with Praying Medic in advance of Q. We've all put that all on hold for this common cause. We've all joined forces, and we feel we've enlisted by our country, by President Trump directly to be his media.
It seems like all of you guys were, I hate to use the word conspiracy theorist because it's got a bad connotation, but it seems like you've been engaged in the other truth thing. So you were highly engaged in JFK.
Just asking questions. I've always been suspicious of Dallas in November 63. I mean, and a lot of people are suspicious of 9/11. I at the time, it's an odd thing. I worked for a kind of a refurbishing place here in Florida at the time, and the company had a contract to tear out some of the buildings that were not destroyed in 9/11, but they were adjoining in New York City, and we tore out all the telecommunications equipment, stored it all, and I shipped it all, sold it all on eBay for them. And every time they just send me the manual, so I know.
You sold the telecommunications servers from 9/11 on eBay?
The problem was that we kept them all in a warehouse in Pennsylvania. They'd ship just the manuals because Cisco, you know, 587 direct current was different than, you know, AC. So I said, send me the manual so I know where to put them, because I, you know, we just couldn't have everything. They shipped them right from this main place we tore out of New York. But just touching the manuals.
You kept selling them to people in Moscow?
Yes, dead serious. I mean, you couldn't even touch it. People, I'm just saying that dust was toxic, you know, months later in a manual.
That's bizarre. So you've been into the truther movement for a long time. Now, I find the movement's collective distrust and distaste for Alex Jones fascinating, because Alex Jones is such a lightning rod.
It's not so much for Alex Jones. He was a platform for Jerome Corsi. Jerome Corsi was one of these people we found out later on was one of these planted in the movement to destroy it at a later date, a Trojan horse.
Okay.
He was set up to make you guys look, or to make, like, I guess, the alt-right look crazy and worse. That was his purpose?
Yeah, he came in initially to support. I'm a big author. I'll give you credibility. I'll be on the front. You know what I mean? And actually, he did, in the early stages, lead to credibility. I mean, I was a devoted follower. I wrote stories, you know, promoting his book. I mean, everybody was sucked in. And as soon as Alex Jones pulled the plug, he worked for him. That's when he left, and some of these other YouTube people all left and tried to destroy the QAnon movement. Alex Jones had his replacement, Zach, or some sense thing. He said, you know, is going to be the new intelligence from now on. QAnon is to put a fork in it, it's all over. You know, Alex was the vehicle to try to do this and was kind of behind the scenes. I feel bad about the censorship, but we've already been wiped out once, and I've been under censorship for 6 months. It's nothing new to us. I feel bad for him, and it's not right. But again, he's not getting any, don't cry over to us. He's already stabbed us in the back. That's how we feel about Alex Jones. It's nothing personal, but yeah,
on the Great Awakening?
The whole QAnon movement and us in particular, because he didn't want anybody else playing in his sandbox. You know, his sandbox was, he's the main source. He talked to Trump, Roger Stone, nobody, he's to be believed. And in the past, anybody that was fake or a LARP or make-believe, he would have crushed, and it was a good business strategy. But this was a corporate boardroom decision. Let's put our own guy up. Let's kill this guy. But QAnon turned out to be real, and it's backfired.
In a way, he's brought a lot of attention in general, even though some of it might be negative, but he has sort of made the movement more aware to so many people with some of his stuff. So, yeah, I mean, in a way, he's like a sacrificial bit of credit.
It's like
lamb.
Judas, you know, the same thing. Yeah. Judas was a good, you know, disciple for a while, but in the
marketing, it worked. Yeah, everyone's like, fuck that guy. It's a great marketing strategy. So in a way, he was like, he like laid down a sacrificial bunt, you know, he got thrown out, but maybe you guys will win the game.
Well, and we put up a big bunt, and I was in the Tampa rally, the Trump Tampa rally at the end of the month. I was telling Ben, we were all told on the board that the world will know about Q by the end of the month. And everybody kept looking at their watch. What's going on today? Is Trump going to say something? And I'm the one that said, hey, there's a rally next week, and let's all get our shirts on. Let's bring our signs. Maybe that's the one. And the Secret Service let us all in, and that's the rest is history. I mean,
you were the message.
We let the cat out of the bag. We came out of the closet that day, but it was almost foretold, and we were, you know, it was the same thing like this. I felt like we were tasked to do that. We all brought our shirts. We don't have the thing going, but I was wearing the shirt that we got in that drop on. That's what I have on today. You know, we were told to do this, and 25% of the audience had some paraphernalia, some apparel, a hat, a shirt, a sign. It was overwhelming. And
are you guys selling? Is there swag to be bought online and stuff like that?
On Amazon, but at that day of Tampa, a couple friends of mine had actually sponsored and did it on their own dime and handed these shirts out, shirts and signs.
Nice.
The stands were all like MAGA stuff, Trump stuff. You know, right. There was a lot of stuff like you'd have at a football game, but And I came in with my own Q shirt, so everybody did
there you go. You should start an Etsy store or something. That's nice. That's perfect.
I'm going to use that picture if I ever do a book. That would be my cover, my homemade Q shirt for the rally.
you know another really interesting thing you said yesterday when we had a brief chat just to make sure that I mean to be completely honest, because I felt so bad that we couldn't get on the call. I wanted to make sure you knew that I wasn't a scumbag just trying to trying to like screw you over, but. But we were briefly talking, and you told me that I didn't realize that when Trump rallies happen, he gives tickets first and foremost to the people who've been signed up for his list the longest.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that there's actually a like a first class or coach thing. I think it's just sent out, and if you happen to be, you know, the first people on the list, you get it first if you respond fast. You know what I'm saying? Right. I don't think they separate it by year or month, but I've attended three rallies. You have to have these tickets. The only way you get the tickets is through the email through Donald Trump, not through RNC, not through right. the White House, but to be back from his campaign days. And that's what I tell everybody. And then with that all set, that still doesn't guarantee it. You have to be there 10 hours early.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that is actually, I mean, of all the things that I'm not the biggest Trump fan, but I'm also like, I have a little bit of like a perpetual like shrug on being like, I don't know, whatever. I don't know what's going on. But I think that's one thing sometimes when I hear Trump does stuff like that, I'm kind of like, this guy knows how to market, man. Because I think that is a great way to get your true supporters there.
And take a step up, you guys. Take a step back, or they say 40,000 foot view. How does the plan and how does QAnon also relate to this guy's MO? It's the same. I'm telling you, this is what he does.
So have you guys ever had someone kind of back out of the movement and just be like, I no longer believe in this. This is too crazy. I can't get down with this anymore.
Well, you had this whole huge group in May that was coordinated that all did it at the same time to try to destroy it. I mean, they had ulterior motives, but usually to be true, 99%, it's all on the upswing. Very few people are like spend 6 months and say, boy, what I've discovered, it's all fake. Every day it increases your enthusiasm and your commitment. It doesn't lessen. It grows stronger by the day, if that makes sense.
Is there a version of this that's kind of the, I don't want to say the Democratic equivalent, but like the leftist equivalent to what you guys are doing on the QAnon side? Have you heard of any other kind of political truther movements on the left?
Yeah, if there's QAnon for Trump, is there another version of it against him, or is there one? State.
It's just the deep state. They're already. I think they're already in place. We're just picking them off.
There's no Reddit movement.
The rest of the people that are at Antifa,
right?
You know, that's the other side of the equation.
But it seems like Antifa is more about being combatant, not about uncovering truth. It sounds like, I mean, because Antifa is obviously an anti-fascist organization. So,
but see, they're being propped up by the, you know, that's their front of their the tip of their spear, where we're the tip of Team Trump and Team Q spear. You know right. what I mean? They're the people we interact with, you know, I think it's a coordinated effort. I've not seen anything organic grow out. What I've seen is that they can't argue the facts. They right. can't argue that James Comey didn't do this, or that Hillary Clinton, you know, they can't argue the cold facts that these people didn't lie or whatever. We've got them cold. So what they're doing is the censorship. I think that's right. That's your QAnon, is that they're doing the censorship, because if they can't beat you on a verbal argument, they're just going to cut you off at the knees.
Well, and it seems like what happens a lot is, because, you know, you mentioned these facts about Hillary Clinton and Comey, but I think the counter argument, to play devil's advocate, is countering with other facts that are about Trump. So having facts that are like his son met with Russians in the Trump hotel, right? Like as facts, fact, I think, is... We live in a complicated time with facts, right? I mean, obviously, you've been involved in truth movement for a long time. The concept of facts is becoming increasingly complicated to even use that term. But I think it sounds to me like the counter movement to Q on the left is actually just mainstream pop cultural media.
Exactly. So, and again, that's you've hit right on the head. That's who we're going up against every day. And one of the good things about since the end of July, since the Tampa rally, was that the main street media has taken one of their double barrels off of President Trump and directed it towards us, which, you know, we feel is a little bit of a badge of honor that they're taking so much attention going after us. But it also relieves him. And I'll tell you, people don't realize when everybody is going against you and talking about you and trying to attack you and trying to sabotage you, it's just a lot of pressure. And you have to almost, you know, if nothing else, just understand and just give Trump a little bit of a kudos for surviving this, because right. I tell you, we've been under this for 6 months, and he's been under it since the December or the summer of 15. And it's unrelenting. It destroys you. You know, it's not good for your health, not good for relationships. You know, it's just, it's rather tough. It's almost like a soldier's existence. But we've committed this on the Reddit side, on Great Awakening, to see it through.
I have just one question. I mean, maybe this is open, but just like, mm-hmm. as far as the media is controlled, I'm just trying to figure out, like, moment by moment, like, how that sort of happens. You know, like, you see a lot of stuff on here about Bill Maher being sort of like owned by the deep state or something, and he's definitely very leftist, but how does it happen? Like, do they have dirt on these people? Is it just a straight pay to play thing? Is it
I think it's a combination. You've hit on two of the big elements.
So they got Bill Maher shitting on someone's chest, or someone's shitting on his chest.
It happened in Russia. No.
Yeah, it all happens. I mean, if you want to get the good shit, you go to Russia.
But they have that, you know,
and they use leverage, personal leverage, and sort of blackmail, and then also what, you know, funding people's shows like Bill Maher's show.
It's all related. It's all related. They get you every which way. One of the big things that came out was that Hugh Hefner was a CIA asset, and they filmed all the stuff at the mansions.
So that guy was a spy.
He worked. There's a difference between being a contractor, getting money, getting paid, getting the perks from the CIA, and being a James Bond. You know, a lot of these people are just being recruited temporarily to do their jobs.
One of us could be a recruit for if we had information or something.
You guys do some humor. Did you want to get into Andrew Dice Clay stories? My brother was his promoter for several years.
Andrew Dice Clay's promoter, really?
Yeah. No, I know the whole crowd.
That's amazing. I've heard that guy was insane, dude. I know.
Yeah, we like comedy on our podcast. We're pretty lighthearted most of the time.
So yeah, I mean, we love
that you covered comedy. Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, we love talking about this stuff, but we're also like, I mean, I think I told you this going into this, is like, we don't want to pass judgment. We don't really want to. We're very curious people, right? I mean, that's the reason we do this podcast, because we see these subreddits and we go, holy shit, I didn't know there was a whole community dedicated to like Japanese furry fashion from the 60s, and there are 20,000 people involved. Like, holy shit, that's crazy. And then it's just one of those things that we kind of get in this question of like, wow, how and why does that happen? Where is that coming from? And I think with QAnon, it's one of those things where it's very intrinsically interesting, because it is kind of a big moment in the world right now. And I think it's the nexus of a lot of different kinds of issues that we're all grappling with. And it sounds like this is something you've been grappling with for a while, about kind of the JFK assassination, 9/11, like things that are involved in the question of like, what is facts and what is truth.
In 63, so yeah. It's just a question of the truth. And there's, you know, and again, if truth comes out that somebody, that Roger Stone, I got no love or bone to pick with Roger Stone, but he was a campaign manager, or Paul Manafort. We're not trying to, you know, this is not a Republican thing or whatever. Wherever the crooks are and the crimes are, so be it. We're just trying to clean house and start fresh and get this country back together.
Little slimy, right? Yeah. Those two dudes.
Oh, the whole crowd. You know what I'm saying? Just dig deep. I've been digging deep on all these people. I was doing, you know, Peter Strozek, Lisa Page. I mean, these people are just, you know, they're not pillars of community. You know, Comey, McCabe. Right. I mean, Brennan. Look at Brennan. You just see him on CNN. I mean, these people are not right.
See, this is what I find so interesting about about the way you guys think about Trump, though. It's because Trump, in a lot of ways, like, he, you know, he was dealing with Italian mobsters in the 80s, getting his loans. He can't get loans in the United States, so he had to get loans from Russia. Like, there are a lot of things I go, why is Trump better?
They did the deep dive. They did the deep. You have to understand, they did the deep dive and they found nothing on him. Nobody else can survive. That's why they're just beyond themselves, because they figured all things, their final thing was this deep dive with the surveillance. We'll find everything. We'll find everything from, you know, all time.
Right.
You know, when they do the NSA queries, all about queries. I mean, they go back to everything. And they didn't find anything. I don't know. I'm not propping him up. I'm just saying he's the guy with the broom that's sweeping, and they've taken the best shots at him, and I've not seen anything to persuade me that he's crooked. In fact, I liked Kennedy because he couldn't be bought. You know, I was a big JFK fan.
Oh, I'm so you were a big JFK fan.
Oh, I'm telling you, I grew up a Democrat. I'm just saying, the people that in this movement, there's no more labels. That's right. One of the things. It's just gone. That's what I'm saying. Democrat, Republican, they're just gone. It's just going to be people that, when we get in these term limits, you'll see it. It's just people that are going to do the job for our country. You don't want any part of that? Don't sign up for Congress.
Right. Now, have you ever considered, just because I'm looking at, I just saw a post on Great Awakening, and it's 100 is submitted 4 days ago. It was 150 terabytes. Norway just busted the largest dark web child porn network in history. MSM, mainstream media in US and EU completely ignored. And I wonder sometimes, a lot of these things, you can't really release details because lawsuits, like once details are released, the actual litigious nature of some of these things is a lot harder to press. Like you track somebody for a long time, but you always hear that you can't arrest somebody until you have proof that you can arrest them, verifiable proof, so that when you take them to court, it's a virtual guarantee. So what about the prospect that you are, that people like Mueller, for instance, is gathering all this evidence and isn't ready to hit somebody like Donald Trump Jr., Donald Trump maybe, like whoever it is, because they're still in the process of gathering evidence? Have you ever considered that?
There's truth to that, but there's also a two-year limit.
Okay.
I agree with you. There's truth, but to keep perpetuating, we got to look under one more rock. We got to interview one more person. There's everybody went along with it for the first year, grudgingly. The second year, when do we see, show me the beef?
Right, yeah.
And that's all, you know, that's as far as Mueller goes. But it's, to tie in your point, that's why this is all taking long. People are saying, where's the rest? How come Podesta's still running loose? How come this and
right,
that?
Right.
It's all related, and I think it's all going to be coming down. And I think the people that are behind the scenes have this under control, and it's all being led by President Trump. And you don't have to be a big fan of his. It's just that if you're a fan of equal justice and if you're a fan of the corruption being over, he just happens to have the broom right now. And history will judge him, you know, or whoever was good or bad in his orbit. But
what about some of his nuts and bolts, like debt, you know, like putting the country into more debt and some of that stuff that's like fact, where it's like he's sort of leveraging more and more of the economy to sort of prop up jobs and...
All my degrees, Dominic, are economics.
You're gonna shit on me then, I guess.
I was gonna say, in 2008, the debt, and not counting, you know, as far as payables, annuities, but the actual debt was at $10 trillion, and 8 years later, it's $20 trillion. What Obama racked up, if we're just looking at debt, was what every other president, administration, and entire country did. He doubled that. And again, you know, that's a fact economically. Now, what Trump is doing or not doing, leveraging, trying to reverse course, I'd like to look at a little bit. The Chinese always say that 5-year look at things. That's what I'd like to look. You like to look at quarters, but for results, you like to give it a little bit more time.
That's a good stance, I think. Wait and see.
I'm just saying, as far as numbers go, I don't agree with that budget that he signed. You know, there's a lot of nitpicking things. We're not lockstep behind everything Trump does by any means. It's just as far as everybody on the QAnon is zeroed in on the corruption element right now and draining the swamp. That's kind of our task right now.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the economy is going to be a huge sort of either savior or downfall for Trump.
Well, 4.1, I tell everybody you can't hide 4.1, and 4.1 is the number. You got GDP at 4.1 and growing, everything falls in after that. That's your key for economic people.
Can't you sort of poke holes in that too, though? I mean, I don't know. You just hear so many different angles from different people that know more about it than I do. But I feel like those what are those numbers? Where are those numbers coming from?
It's really hard for us. I mean, it's just that's the aggregate of everything. That's the aggregate of, you know, that's when you do better trade deals. That's when you get less unemployment. That's when you cut back, you know, your freebies, you know, whatever, whether they're cutting back. If you're legal, you don't get this and that anymore. You know, they're starting to cut back some of the bleeding, getting out of the foreign wars. It's all helping. ISIS being over. These are all drains that are over.
That Space Force, though, that ain't going to be cheap.
It's true.
So we encourage anybody wanting to find out more about QAnon is to check in at Reddit. I tell everybody you don't even have to join it. When you join and it's free, is that then you can leave comments and so forth. But anybody's welcome to see. I have 200 posts right now. I feel they're ironclad as far as documentation, the history, the facts. They're all political corruption stories. You know, I had done something about Bruce and Nellie Orr. There's a lot of talk lately about Bruce Orr. You know, I've done extensive series on him and his wife together. You know, these are things anybody wanting to look down as far as some background. And when you read these stories, you get a little bit of a Q flavor. You see what Q has said about these people. So we take current stories and we just put a little bit of a flair into it. But welcome everybody to come to Great Awakening.
If I join, will the CIA be tracking me? That's exciting.
I swear there was this guy, our marina is under construction. I swear I sent this off to my private eye buddy. This guy pulls in with his boat, big ass Sea Ray. He doesn't know about wrecks coming in here, you know, and everybody's fleeing this marina for construction. I'm like, nobody's coming in. They're trying to get everybody to leave. You know, like a couple hundred boats are trying to get us. They've got to rebuild this whole section of this marina eventually. I'm one of the last holdouts to go. Anyway, I'm like, what are you? And he pulls in right next to me and is my new best friend. I mean, this is a young guy with you know, super in shape, crew cut, oriental tats all over. Has miraculously doesn't have his license, the real estate license, but has an office all set up in this waterfront, huge Berkshire Hathaway, you know, $1 million condos. The only thing on the ground level is this Berkshire Hathaway to sell the $1 million. And he's got a front office in this room. I'm saying, who is this guy? Seriously, there is strange things going on all over.
I think it's Jordan Belfort's kid. He's just mopping it up.
Strange things are happening, I tell you. There's no doubt.
All right, man. Well, Roy, this has been really, really nice talking to you and really insightful. I think we need to wrap this one up.
Thank you so much, Roy.
My pleasure. We didn't even get into the boat, Tom.
I know. We might have to pull you on for the boat sub.
We'll do a video next time. I was going to do a little boat tour for y'all here.
Man. What kind of boat do you have?
It's a Silverton, 45-foot Silverton.
Oh, sweet. I had a 30-foot Lancer, which was kind of a piece of shit, but I was a young guy and I bought it on Craigslist and it worked for 3 years. And now I have a baby and I don't have that boat anymore, but I'm a young dad now. So things have changed.
All right. Well, Roy, thank you so much, man. Anybody, I mean, we'll do a little wrap up offline, but I really appreciate you taking the time, man. And it's really nice hearing what you have to say on the matter. I think regardless what people believe, I think there's a lot to see and learn and investigate. Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a really interesting thing when you just talk about it. It's people post clues, and then it's up to everybody else to make sense if it's for them or not for them. I mean, I think that's kind of part of the, like most things.
Bruce Orr in the news, people say, who's Bruce Orr? You can read one of my stories. I have it there in the history, get you up to date on him, and then you can go from there. You know what I mean? We're more of background information about these names that, you know, that come out with Sean Hannity that will eventually be on CNN. You know, we just, we push Sean Hannity to mention it.
All right, cool, man. Well, it was good talking to you. Take care. Have a good day,
Thanks,
man.
Thanks, Roy.
Yep.
Appreciate See you, man. Anytime.
Yep. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Like Roy.
Sure.
What a guy, right? All right.
Yeah,
so
Dog Boobs had to bail.
Yeah.
She had to hit the scene because she's a working woman.
Working woman. Wrap it up. But goddamn, Roy, you got. How could he possibly say that he has memory issues? Like he was pulling.
When you can reference fake news paper from like
1960s.
You don't have memory problems.
You don't have memory problems, dude. You do not
Roy's
have memory
crushing
problems.
It. He's a Encyclopedia Britannica should be his name.
Yeah. I mean, I think this movement is fascinating. Like, I'm still not I mean, I got a built-in cynicism that kind of just keeps me from, like, believing too hard in things ever.
I do, too, about basically everything. Right. And this is sort of the motherlode of things you could be cynical about.
Right, right.
I sort of had to make a choice somewhere in Roy's, like, dumping of complex information that, hey, this is going to be more fun if you just go with the flow and sort of buy into
right.
it.
Well, but also I think, you know, I mean, we don't know – The whole movement is predicated on people that have taken the time to research to make sense of what they find on their own, right? I mean, I think it's like anything else. It's like the way we disseminate information. Like you get fed world history and then eventually you go, well, yeah, obviously Hitler killed all the Jews, right? But if for some reason you're reading other news sources that say otherwise, and maybe that's a little crass example. I don't want to compare QAnon with that. But like, you know, if I find out that like, I don't know, gravity keeps me from like jumping into the sun, right? If I start finding anecdotal evidence that suggests otherwise, it can lead down a rabbit hole that says that kind of can change my worldview. And I think that's ultimately what the QAnon movement is, and that's what places like the Great Awakening are. Is it's a yeah. resource for people who want to take hunches that they have and try to find anecdotal evidence that supports it.
Yeah, try to find meaning, and which is, you know, there's a reason why psychics are still in business. Like we're very good at attaching meaning to things,
right?
As animals, we do it very well. We're believers in things.
But I also struggle. Like, I mean, I struggle to say he's wrong on some stuff. I'm not saying he's right on some stuff. I'm just saying it's because. Are the things we believe are so predicated on the information that we gather. It's like sometimes your belief is relative. I mean, people who believe like are really, really into, I don't know, like Christianity, for instance, right?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of a similar thing in a lot of ways. It's like
Bill Maher has his production company was called Kid Love Productions.
Game and over, that's dude.
Like that's a big QAnon thing, and I'm like,
game over.
And I looked it up, and I'm like, God damn, it is. It was named that. Jesus, right. man. And so he's like linked to the Hillary right. kid molester. I like that the molesters became also cannibals, which is fucking sweet. It's like, why not just go ahead and eat them when you're done with them? Wow, cool. Yeah, I mean, a couple big things that I just take away from me is like, for whatever your beliefs are, they've essentially been able to in this administration like create an alternative media that doesn't participate in the, you know, traditional financial structure of big media. And it's pretty impressive, like, you know, there's more and more people using this as media, and guys like Roy's age who are typically, you know, your CNN Fox News watchers are now solely using 4chan, Reddit,
right,
as news. And it's an interesting phenomenon that's happening where the news is sort of they've told their own version of stories for so long, I think. And you know, obviously CNN has a version and Fox has a version. That's pretty clear. You know, I think people are sort of glomming on. They're going, well, this is all bullshit. I got to go somewhere else. And then they go to places like QAnon. And that's a real thing, I think, that's happened.
Right. Right.
And that's pretty interesting, you know, to me. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think this is one of those things where I think there is undeniable proof that there is a, I mean, I think on the left, for instance, that big article or that those that news that came out with that local radio station, Sinclair Media, where it was like all the local radio stations all had the same script.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's the
there's proof.
There's proof. Like, yeah.
That, and that I would consider proof.
that is total proof. And then there
to
are
me,
I think
that's all proof I need.
Yeah. And there's other there are examples. And I it's like narrative is difficult, right? Because I think that you like it when something comes out that we think is a big, important story, it isn't necessarily groupthink if everybody is reporting on it at once. I think that sometimes it's just
there
the
are
story,
obviously big
right?
stories, yeah.
Yeah, and like, you know, that's just the way things work, but I think there is also the reality that the 24-hour news cycle has created a lot of problems, that there is like, I think what I always the thing that I get frustrated with sometimes with these movements is I'm like, cool, well, you're talking about everything that's owned in the Democratic side. You're talking about Democrats and kind of the leftists. But, like, Rupert Murdoch is, like, a heavy right-winger. Yeah. And he owns tons of media, right? So I think it happens on both sides.
And their point is, like, all – like, Democrats and Republicans at that level are all the same.
Right.
They're all at the same kid molester parties.
Right.
It's – and this movement's more about people, like, regular folk who are just citizens, which is actually kind of impressive that, like, these aren't rich people. They're just people.
Totally.
And that's – I mean, there's a lot of power sort of being uncovered within this movement. You know, if you wanted to start something – you could gather a shitload of people and sort of, you know, obviously sway a vote. I mean, they did it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's pretty cool. Well, and then the other thing,
it can go in another direction too. It doesn't have to be conspiratorial and like.
Right. And then the end of all of this, I think getting back to the Reddit thing, which is, I think, why we love Reddit, is this is a galvanized community around a specific idea, which ultimately is at the end of the day, what's so nice about this. I mean, I think people that, you know, Roy is a fucking pleasant guy. Like, he's undeniably a nice, pleasant dude. If I ran into Roy, if I you were a boat guy, like, if you lived in a boat by Roy.
I had a neighbor that was similar to Roy in the sense that, like, he had all these big ideas about the Chinese government coming for us.
Right.
And we would talk about it all the time. And, like, he was a super nice guy. And it was kind of fun because you're on the dock and gives you something to talk about.
Right.
And I was like, cool, all right, see you later. I'm going to go live my life. And that was pretty much it.
And I like that, man. I like being able to talk to people like Roy. I mean, because, you know, we don't get the chance to talk to people like that. So
enjoy it. We both enjoy talking to guys like Roy. Roy is really nice.
Yeah.
We appreciate having him come on.
Yeah.
I got to go, and you got to go too. We got to go work. We got to go check into our jobs at Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, with the Rothschilds. Rothschild and Murdoch Incorporated.
We're just sheep, man. We're just shills working for the man. I wish somebody was offering to pay us to, you know, spread their corrupt message, but it's not the case.
Corrupt seed. But all right, cool. Well, if you're interested in QAnon in either a serious or non-serious way, or if you just want to learn more about it, Great Awakening, I think, is your move. I mean, it kind of goes without saying, it's a very contentious subreddit, and I don't think it's for everybody, but I think, I don't know, man, maybe you'll find something that really resonates with you, or it'll give you more evidence to back up your own leftist agenda.
If nothing else, you can tell your grandkids you were there when, you know?
Yep, that's kind of what we're dealing with. So, but signing off, this is Did You Reddit, weekly podcast about the internet, by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. My name is It's Your Dad.
And it's my free day signing off for Dog Boobs.
Dog Boobs no longer here. And then our special guest today was Captain Roy D of Great Awakening. And we'll be back next week. I don't know what we're covering next week, but it'll be spicy. And lucky, maybe we'll get a cool guest again.
Hopefully it'll be a dash of spice with a little hint of ranch dressing.
A little bit of ranch dressing. Maybe next week it'll be a subreddit dedicated to boats exclusively with Roy.
I mean, we got to have him back on just talking about boats.
I would love that. Boats and knots.
All right.
All right. Awesome. Cool. All right, man. Well, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.